Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
That was awesome.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register and I play Laura on The Walking Dead. You're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, survivors, welcome to episode 71 of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle. everybody is not here because we had a little bit of change of how the podcast is going to happen this week. I was not able to make it on the day that we were recording, and I had, you know, like some problems with work, just in like the week got filled up really quick, and then trying to schedule like when LT and Brian could join us. So we're doing things a little bit differently. So they recorded their parts for the podcast, and I'm going to add them in where, you know, they're, where those spots are. And for the most part, I will be reading everybody's feedback and going through the episode like that. So I know it's a little kind of weird and may seem a little kind of, I don't know, different than how things obviously are, but you know, hopefully still get everything in and you guys will enjoy all the comments that we have. So with that, we're going to be covering Fear the Walking Dead season 6 episode 4 The Key, and we will also be covering The Walking Dead World Beyond season 1 episode 5 titled Madman Across the Water. Before we get started though, we do have additional feedback for the Fear the Walking Dead season 6 episode 3 Alaska. But Brian actually has a pretty big errata to take over for this week. And yeah, it's kind of about me. But all right, I'll let it go to Brian.
Hello, everybody, to this very unconventional episode. Hopefully it won't be terrible. But anyway, so I'm starting this with errata. And this first thing is a weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
And it goes right to you, Kyle. And you guys know what the hell this is. It is the fact that last week, on last week's episode, it was blatantly obvious that Kyle should have been playing all the way through this. Now, I want listeners to know that I could not find the original recording of Oh Sherry that I did, you know, a couple of years ago. So I recreated it, and Kyle, you get a very big because despite us mentioning it several times, you failed to play it. So, man, I hate to say it. Especially this really weird episode, but you suck, dude. Because I went and took the time to create a new sound effect, and you didn't use it, so boo. And I know Erin, she thought that that was my fault. Well, that wasn't my fault because I wasn't editing. That was Kyle.
All right, Brian, I get it. Yes, I messed up. But in the power, since I am actually editing this and the way it's happening, I can just put myself in wherever I want. So as I was going through listening to everyone's recordings, trying to put this together, I found a little nugget from our wonderful co-host, LT. So I'm going to just add this here and, you know, maybe we should have a debate on which version that we might use for the future Sherry's. Take it away, LT.
Oh, Sherry, our love holds on, holds on. Yes, I had to do it.
Oh, you're the best, LT. That was so awesome to find. So, yes, Brian, I'm sorry. I totally didn't. I just got busy and was just totally had already like, you know, finished it and rendered it. And it's like, after it was all said and done, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot to add that. So I apologize, everyone. I will do better next time. All right. Take it back, Brian.
The other thing I wanted to create or correct was an issue that you guys didn't know who Janice was. Hopefully you do now, but I left a little like picture that was in the one of our previous episodes. Was the Channel 5, I believe, Season 5, Episode 15. And that was Tom. Tom, the doofus that recorded, instead of you know, getting out of the way of the walkers, and he died while recording himself, and the bridge collapsed, I think, is what happened. But anyway, Janice was his sister. So that's how we first found out about her. And that was in Season 5, Episode 13, which I don't remember what the title of that was, but that's when we first found out about her.
Thank you, Brian. All right. Well, we will now go into a voicemail from Renee from Atlanta that also has something to do about me. All right.
Hi, Kyle. This is Renee calling from Atlanta. I was listening to the podcast from last week. I think it's called Alaska. And you said that I did not like Morgan. Nope, that is Aaron from the internet. I love Morgan. When, I guess her name is Dieta from Detroit, when she was talking about Morgan or whatever, and your response was like, yeah, because she likes, I think, Madison and Nick them. I really don't care about Madison and Nick them. I really don't miss them on the show. But Morgan, I just had to call back. Yeah, this is not my feedback for this week, but I just had to address that. No, I love Morgan. That is Aaron from the internet. Again, I made sure I found her name. She's the one that says she does not like Morgan Jones. I just don't like him changing up every 5 freaking seconds. I need him to stay a killer. That's it. That's it. I just need him to be Rick Grimes 2.0. That's it. Because I just want my baby to get on the show, Rick Grimes, to come back. That's it. So anybody that Rick Grimes loves, Renee loves. I just had to call and make sure, Kyle, you know that. So please go back and change it up and say that Renee loves Morgan. Okay, see you guys. I will be giving you my feedback. Okay, bye.
I'm sorry, Renee. I totally don't remember saying that. I must have been getting my, just got a little confused on my name. So, yeah, you're right. I deserve a big... So, all right. Well, let's go on to some more feedback. And this comes from Aaron from the internet. And she goes, Gimple's eagle won't let Madison return yet. I will Alicia Athea into existence. The key to my heart is with Madison. Viva Madison! Smiley face. Oh, cool. She started with Al, then did Dwight, and now Coleman is doing them together. Smiley face. I agree. Give me more of his episodes, but leave time for Strand to be in episodes also. Again, Lenny can stay behind the camera. Hashtag no Morgan. Funeral zombie, one word LT, Botox. Well, true. I guess that's could have some of that deal going on. LOL to LT's rant, rat rant and smiley face. Same Kyle, the Axe remodel was dumb. How dare you not play the old Sherry song clip each time, Brian, ha. And of course, as you just heard, it was my fault because I didn't put it in. And but LT did a really good job, so maybe we can switch over to that. She goes on, I think what's stopping them, LT, is the fact, just like with Strand and Alicia last week, if Al and Dwight don't return or cause too much trouble, then Ginny will kill some of the group, and they don't want that, even if the group would want them to be safe and free from her. Not going to live, I did consider Sherry would be dead by the time Dwight found her. And unless Ginny has a forensic scientist at a lab back there, Dr. Plot McGruffin at your service, LT. Smiley face. I agree with Dieta in that they do not give Alicia enough to do on the series. Again, I reminded the writers that this was a series about a family, and she's in that family, and she's the last Clark member, so people want to see her. Post-Madison, she is a connection to the original concept, even though Strand and Daniel are also original members, but we don't see her hardly ever. Just actor-related Alicia brings a lot of fans from other series, mainly the 100. So those fans want to see her, and if you don't deliver, they may leave, and thus down go the ratings and chance for renewal. As a Strictly Fear viewer, again, we want to see our originals, and she's one. I do not tune in to see Morgan Jones. I enjoy most of the new characters, but I still want to see our original, especially, again, given something huge happened a few seasons ago. We lost Madison. Alicia should be leading this group, or at the very least, be the second most focused on character. She's the good guy, still of the group, if you want to look at it like that. So why don't you do things which test how far she will go to stay that way? Can you push her to levels of dark we see in the others? We know she's killed because we've seen it. What does Alicia's dark side look like compared to others? Does she stick to her guns and say goodbye or stay good despite all Jenny puts her through, which makes her the better person, quote unquote? Alicia is the main character and original, and they treat her like a guest character of the week at times. I'm pretty sure at this point the bounty hunter who died in episode 1 has had more to do than Alicia has since post-season 4. Okay, that's a stretch, but you know what I mean. Alicia can be just as interesting as John or Al. She can also just be just as conniving as Strand, and she can be just as deadly as Daniel, so why don't we see more of her? All this talk of taking down Jenny from within, I would love to see at this point, and it be Alicia's plan that saves them all instead of some crazy they Mary Sued up for Morgan or something Strand cooked up, because she is important too. And then next season, give her the lead role she should have had in season 4B if Madison wasn't going to be there. Hashtag give us more Alicia Clark awesomeness. I fully support Madison returning. Gimble did Kim dirty. Frowny face. Who's to say Jenny doesn't know about the black helicopters and that will come up later? Smiley face. LT, are you telling me you wouldn't want to see the battle of wills between Gina and Madison and how Madison would just tear her apart piece by piece? Come on now. Or what if Madison actually sided with Jenny on some things, because how interesting would that be to see? One of the best things about Madison with her ambiguity and how you never knew if she was going to be your friend or your enemy, and if she was your friend, just how long would that last before she may be traded you over for the longtime goal? And the actor Kim brought with that, dude, she was easily the most intriguing character on the series. You never knew what Madison would do each week, so it kept you guessing. You know Morgan is going to Mary Sue it up each week and make some lame speech about who is him or how he's all so alone, and know Daniel's doing a long con. You know Strand will talk his way out of things, and you can even predict some other decisions, but you couldn't predict Madison's, and it was refreshing. You could easily work her into what's going on in the world. It will definitely a loss for the series when Madison left. She goes on, you could have her prop up with the black helicopter people, even because you know there'll be a thing later. But it when every Walking Dead product merge or post-Jenny, but you know with the Rick movies, that situation is coming where they all meet up. This season is 2 for 3 for me. I didn't like the first episode of the season, of course. I will forever rage against Morgan Jones. Bring back Madison. No one can be happy on these shows for long. Sadly true. I fully expect rats to pour out of the wall, breach Alamade. Madison popping out Troy's eye. Good times. Again, I ask, how did she know to do that? Odds she blinds him or rips it out so he can't go back in. But he was able to work it back in, and she worked him with a spoon. Madison can give Daniel a run for his money with torture, I feel. We never did learn if she had military training or not, because she was awfully in tune with the military layout that episode. And yeah, we know she killed her dad, but that doesn't jump from killing your abusive father to knowing how to use a spoon to pop out an eye with some training. Just again, going back to Daniel, she was all into him torturing the soldier in season 1, so there was definitely more to Madison than we saw week to week. All right. Thank you so much. All right. Well, that was that. So let's go into the discussion for this episode. All right. We are going to discuss Fear the Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 4, The Key, written by David Johnson. Not to be confused with the infamous David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick, directed by Ron Underwood. And the description was, John is settling in as one of Virginia's Rangers when a mysterious death sends him on an investigation that makes him question everything he thought about himself. All right, let's go into ratings. And LT, what was your rating?
So for my rating, I'm giving it a non-arbitrary 9 out of 10. My name is Dory. I carry a badge.
I gave it a 9 out of 10 ugly muster. And Brian didn't have one listed, so if I didn't get it, we'll have to maybe come back to it next week. All right, well, we got some listener ratings, and LT actually recorded this, so I will let him do Glennis from Toronto.
So we did get some listener feedback. Glennis from Toronto says, 8 out of 10, Walker, Texas Ranger.
And Deanna from Detroit gave it, she said, I rate this episode 8 out of 10. There's a new sheriff in town, and his name is John Dory with a Y. Good one. All right, now is our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
All right, our first listener's awesome sauce comes from Dieta from Detroit, and she goes, John beating the crap out of Strand, traitor scheming butt. Yes, I am here for it. Strand's loyalty is clearly with Virginia and not liking that. Another awesome part was Morgan and his mighty axe stick slicing and dicing the taggers after they ran him off the road. Agreed. Kyle, I don't agree with you about his new weapon being weak. I think he made it stronger and more deadlier. Even though we forgot to mention how and where he did find all these new found tools to build it on the apocalypse, thinking emoji, but still a good weapon. I'm going to change my mind now just because that last scene, whenever, you know, the taggers like T-boned his car and he gets out, like, that scene was just kind of really, really cool, where it was like under the truck and then you just see him step out and then like the, you know, the axe part of it, you know, hits the ground. And I don't know, I just like seeing that just really made it just kind of like, I don't know, it's starting to make me kind of appreciate that weapon as just like this cool, like, I don't know, like symbol of the new Morgan. And also what was cool is after he gutted, I'm calling it Blondie, which was crazy. But then, the other guy, you know, he was fighting with him, whatever, but he flips him over and, you know, comes after him, whatever. But then he used the butt of his staff, which is the pointy end, and like stabbed him and like killed him. And so it's like, okay, cool. This weapon has like dual, like kind of like a dual use. And I don't know. So I'm changing it. I definitely think his weapon, even though, yes, I agree that, you know, to build this with whatever tools, how did he find those, you know, in the apocalypse? But yeah, I agree. It's a good weapon. All right. Next comes from Glennis from Toronto, and her awesome sauce is Morgan's attack on those two guys looking for the key, though that one guy spilled his guts, but no closer to knowing what that key opens. Smiley face. Yep. We're going to probably, you know, eventually find out more about that key and its importance. So we'll just have to wait and see. All right. Well, that was our listener's awesome sauce. So let's go into our awesome sauce. And so up next, it'll be what LT has.
My awesome sauce is John Dory is still my hero. You know, he's still a cop at heart, even though he's presented with all these situations where he could have just gone along. He could have just let it go. John is going to do his due diligence. John is going to do his thing. He's going to investigate because he's in the position. He's got his first real mystery to solve. So he's going to get out there and do what he knows to do. He's going to mark off the crime scene. He's going to look for evidence. He's going to play it just like he was back on the road. And even though we still wonder what's going to happen with him and Jenny, you wonder if he's going to make that compromise. John's still an honest guy at heart. He's still going to do what's right. So we'll see how all that plays out in the coming weeks. But I'll tell you this much. John is all about business, and he's gonna do what's right. So I really enjoyed that part of it. I've got more to say about the Morgan thing at the end, and I've got questions about the whole why Janice did what she did, but I'll get to that later.
Thank you, LT. I had a few, as I said before, Morgan's weapon and its dual use, I have to say, I take it back. It's not weak. And Dory, I missed him. He's a fan favorite for a reason, because how can you not love this man? The whole episode is just, we need some, feel good feelings during this apocalypse in this show, and just seeing John, and he's such a upstanding, person. So I just thought that was just awesome. And I enjoyed the Walker kills again, like John in the grave, and he smashed the one on the shovel. I thought that was kind of cool. And the other one decapitating it at the jawline, but then the head is still looking around. I don't know. I'm enjoying the creative Walker use so far this season. It's a lot of fun. And also, Janice, who, she was split in two, but seeing her crawling around with the rope around her mouth. And I'm not sure if it was or not, but it just reminded me of our first Walker in the Walking Dead universe, Bicycle Girl. So, so far, all these, fun ways they're, showing us the Walkers, because, at this point, we're all kind of it's just a Walker here. I'm just enjoying all that. And I kind of was thinking maybe I should ask in my sad sauce, but yeah, I felt so bad that, Ginny killed Janice. I don't know. I should put that in the sad sauce, but I don't know. All right, now on to our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
All right, we didn't get any weak sauce from our listeners this week, so let's just go into ours, and we'll start with LT.
Well, for my weak sauce, I'm still wondering about why they took out Morgan's truck like they did. If they thought he was the guy, were they sure that it wasn't him? Did they know that our friend the bounty hunter was headless wherever he was? That's kind of what I was wondering about. And I'm like, Morgan didn't really advertise. Did they figure it out? Was there enough time gone by? Has word on the street gotten around? So them coming out of nowhere and T-boning him just kind of made me wonder.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with that. Because as far as I know, I don't think we really saw that, they came across Emil or, knew anything about Emil other than, I guess, they were looking for him. Because I guess now we're finding out that he had this key that they were trying to get from him. But it was how did they know it was Morgan? I guess they must have known something. But it was just how do they find him? And then, I don't know. It just kind of was okay. Was it an accident? And it just happened by chance, but it seemed very clear that they were going after him for, that reason. So with that, I will go on to mine. It's since I was already on the Walker issue, before, I was just bringing it up as my awesome sauce, but, I just the Walker sneaking up on everyone all the time. It's like, do they not make any noise at all until they're right up on top of you? They're just silent until they're oh, I'm within a foot away from you. Then I'll be arrgh. So I don't know. I just this whole out of nowhere surprise, or you just turn and look the wrong direction and they're right up on you. I don't know. I still find it a little weak. It's, I don't know. And then I don't know if this should be weak or a what sauce, but I'll just put it here since, I'm still talking about Walkers. So Ginny blares music to draw the Walkers to kill Janice. And then John is shooting guns and making all this noise. And so, I know they are, remote location. And maybe they have some kind of ranger Walker clearing group, that just goes out and just kind of clears the Walkers. But I know we've seen this in the whole show from the beginning, is that loud noises draw herds. and we see smaller herds, you know, we'll hear something, you know, they've shown us, and then there's a sound, and they'll, like, change directions, and then those herds end up kind of combining into, like, the larger herd, and then, you know, that's what ends up showing up, you know, when everybody doesn't expect it or whatever, and then, you know, there's a big, huge problem. And it just always seemed like that was always the rule, is, like, you just keep the noise down, because you'll draw walkers. So I don't know, it's just, it seemed weak that it's like that isn't a problem right now, that, you know, to keep your, you know, place safe, you don't want more walkers showing up. So I just that's weak. So then Brian had put in, his, weak sauce. So I'll just go ahead and, read this, cause he didn't record a segment for this that I know of. And he just goes on, he says his weak sauce, the man in the silhouette in the credits was assumingly John Dory, but it was John Dory in his old hat and not the new style hat. He said, I may have to change this one. So, with that, I don't know. It's like, I did notice that after reading his comments, and it is, he's got kind of like just your normal looking like cowboy hat, but it seemed like in the episode, his new hat kind of had like part of it tilted up. So it wasn't like that, you know, classic, just straight out, you know, hat that we see, in the opening sequence. So yeah, maybe it's just a little continuity error on their part, but. Alrighty. Well, all right. Thanks, guys. And let's go on to our what sauce.
What?
All right. We got one listener's what sauce, and that comes from Glynis from Toronto. And she goes, just like to vent, not amused with AMC switching Talking Dead over to AMC Plus for this episode's talk through with Chris Hardwick and guests. And next week too. And only showing it on AMC cable channel nearly a week later on Saturdays at 12:14 a.m. Eastern time. Sorry, AMC. I'm not going to pay extra for yet another streaming service. AMC, the money grabbers. And I can't get AMC Plus even if I was prepared to pay for it, as it isn't even available in Canada anyways. Alienating the fans even further with ratings are on the downward trend for the main shows. Grr, angry face. I wonder if they're testing the AMC Plus waters to put the Daryl and Carol and other upcoming The Walking Dead universe series exclusively on AMC Plus. ? Exclamation point. Rant over. Feel better now getting that off my chest. A big smiley face. Yeah, I don't know. I did not see that. And I just kind of wrote the Talking Dead is just basically not happening. I know they have some stuff on Twitch, but it's not Talking Dead. I wish they would just keep, like, you know, doing it like they used to, because I don't, you know, if they are going to have it, you know, and they're doing it, you know, on a different, you know, on the app or, you know, a different way, I still don't understand why they're not doing it on, you know, like when it, you know, broadcasts on Sundays, because it just seems, unless it's just a money thing and it's just cheaper to do it this other way, but that still doesn't make any sense. So I don't know. We'll maybe they'll change things, and you know, still, that's another kind of good point too, is just about, you know, like, are they testing the waters to kind of push these new series over onto their app so that you have to pay for it? That I would not be happy with, because it, you know, you have a cable channel for a reason, and, you know, it's like, we, if you pay for cable, or like in my case, I have YouTube TV, but, you know, it's like they have to pay to basically carry those channels and then pass that cost on to, you know, their, you know, to their subscribers. So it's like, why would you not have, you know, those shows on your network broadcast and, you know, like try to hold them to the app, just to make, if it's to make more money, then that's not really cool. So, all right. Thank you, Glynis. We didn't have any Watt sauce, so that just leads us into our sad and aw sauce. All right. We did get one sad sauce from Glynis, and LT actually recorded himself, you know, reading this. So I'm going to hand it off to you, LT.
And we have some sad all sauce from our listeners. Glennis from Toronto says, it would have been one of my awesome points that John and June are back together again, but there's a dark shadow hanging over those two now and the circumstances that allowed June back into John's life. It was a very strained and awkward reunion, so it's now really a sad sauce. Frowny face.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Glennis. That's kind of a sad sauce. It's like this whole episode, like leading up to this, you know, it's just showing how really horrible Jenny is. Like she is going to do whatever, you know, to just basically control our, you know, characters, just control people. And the fact that knowing, you know, after she read all of John's, you know, notes to June, so she knows that they were been communicating with each other, and she knows that John at one point, you know, was saying how much that he thought that this whole, you know, like new community or new way of living, you know, might not be so bad within the walls. But then that all turning around because, you know, Jenny's doing her, you know, bad, mean, evil things, with, you know, killing Janice and Cameron. And, you know, it's like John's trying to basically, you know, like, you know, talked over and over again about how, you know, he's just wanting, you know, it's like people feel safe, you know, if, you know, they're, I, you know, didn't write that part down, but, just, you know, when people feel safe, you know, they're better off. And, you know, it's just like watching Jenny doing this totally just to control John. And you have to think like, okay, we don't know, like if June, you know, has any kind of value to Jenny that like she won't retaliate or she won't do anything evil or mean to them because she is like medical person, you know, background that, you know, that's very important in these times. But it's just like, it's just the clear, you know, thing that she's doing is to control John, reuniting them together so that, you know, it's like he gets what he wants, you know, and it's just a really evil way to be like controlling people. All right. We actually did get some sad sauce from LT, which kind of, you know, kind of a little bit the same thoughts as Glennis. So go ahead, LT.
Well, for my sad sauce, I kind of have to echo what Glennis said. It was pretty tear jerky there when June shows back up. It's good that her and John are back together, but it makes me wonder, is this going to be something that's going to cause problems for our intrepid duo later in the show? Which, you know, if Jenny brought them back together, there's bound to be a reason and there's bound to be heartbreak in the offing.
Yep, I have to agree. There's obviously a motive there for Jenny. All right, well, thank you guys. And so that will now lead us into feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. First listener's feedback comes from Dieta from Detroit. And she says, I don't like Virginia. I would love to see a backstory on how she came to be in charge of these so-called colonies and why everybody is afraid of her. She has the Napoleon complex bad, almost narcissistic at times. The people following her have to be under the Stockholm syndrome. Comparing her to Negan and Alpha, she is less threatening to me, not as powerful. Any who don't like her, and she just used June to keep John from running off, which he was planning to do before June showed up at the door. I hope they leave together with Morgan once he finds him. Overall, okay episode. I do feel like they're taking forever getting to the point, and what is the mystery with the key Morgan has? I mean, I felt like what we're seeing next episode, although, you know, it's Al, Dwight, and Sherry, and I'm not sure if there was anybody else. So hopefully they're getting to more of a point. Cause again, we do still see Morgan, you know, in like he was in that one of the scenes. So, I mean, we're going to be, that'll be 5 episodes in. So yeah, hopefully they do get to this point because they already killed off, you know, the bounty hunter. They killed off the 2 taggers and we get that this key is important and, you know, next episode, there's like a lot of people wearing these weird, like white little like masks and stuff. So I don't know. That doesn't seem like that's Ginny's group. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. All right. Well, next comes from Glennis from Toronto. And she says, so who really liked Cameron? There's still a killer loose in amongst the townsfolk of Lawton. I think Dakota killed Cameron. Oh, interesting. Virginia is protecting her little psycho sister by framing Janice. That's why Virginia needs to keep Dakota close and act scared whenever Dakota is out of her sight and unaccounted for. That is interesting observation. I wasn't taking it that way, that she's scared of Dakota. I feel like she's been like kind of like trying to control her because she knows Dakota's a little bit just running amok, maybe. And so she, even though it's like that's her sister, her blood, that she's trying to like, she's not that evil yet to knock her off. So I don't know. I have to agree that that's kind of an interesting observation you just made. All right. And she goes on and says, I fear John is now also going to turn to drink with not being able to rescue Janice and go on the same route as his dad was on with this incident affecting his relationship with June. As June is back with him only because of his good job with finding Cameron's killer, he might start shutting out June as John was really indirectly responsible for Janice being executed. Since he voiced his concern that Cameron's death wasn't an accident, then that sparked off the series of events. So John was really grappling with the fact that, and to add insult to injury, he gets rewarded by Virginia with a promotion to Ranger and the key worn as a sort of a medal for his good detective work. John is, I think, really going to go to the dark side emotionally with this whole incident. I see Morgan has deposed his horse in favor of a steel horse rider, but glad he's got the bloodhound Rufus back with him to help track Grace down. I have to agree. Has like the dog kind of being, you know, still around, and I don't know. I love bloodhounds. They're so cute. She goes on. It's like, I got a heart leaping fright when Morgan's truck was hit. Those two guys didn't stand a chance with a fully fit Morgan. I wasn't scared for Morgan's well-being at all. Those were some nifty moves using both ends of axe and bow. A twist of sorts on what Jesus said to Morgan in The Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 16, Wrath, to use the pointy end of the staff to kill walkers and the blunt end for the living. But Morgan's staff is now lethal both ends. It also reminds me of Morgan in The Walking Dead Season 5, Episode 16, Conquer, before meeting up with Aaron, Daryl, and finally Rick, when he made short work on those two wolf guys in the woods at his camping site. But they were luckier than they were left alive, as Morgan was in his all life is precious phase. That's, I guess, a smirk emoji. As Morgan states, what the hell does that key open? I'm still sticking to that key being a nuclear missile activation key. The key symbolizes... symbolization is forecasting dark times ahead for everyone, with Morgan's key being the most lethal. Strand and John's keys they wear illustrate, on Strand's side, a change in character to the bad on purpose, and John's situation brought on by good intentions with wanting to bring a murderer to justice. Yep. Episode was the key, and we're getting a key, but what does it open or unlock? Doing another nuclear thing. I mean, I guess we did get that last season. And we do have the submarine that we saw, like, you know, at the beginning of the season. So if it could be like, you know, access to some kind of nuclear armament or something like that, I don't know, with like these guys are looking for this key, in what sense, like, that it would be like some kind of weapon to use against who, because we don't know what side they're on, what group they're on. You know, are they fighting Ginny? Are they not? Do they have anything to do with each other? So, no, that's interesting observation. All right. Well, that was it for all our listeners' feedback. Thank you, everyone. So let's go into our own. All right, LT?
So my final notes. So at least we got a hint of what was going on with the key that Morgan has. The question is, we got a better look at it this time, and it appears to me, just from my years of experience with such things, that this is one of those unduplicatable security keys, which means that it's probably to something that people don't want the keys duplicated for. So is this the key to the submarine? Is there some locked bunker somewhere that's got some goodies in it? We don't know. Well, obviously, Sidekick and Smoking Guy really wanted that key. They really wanted that key, and it's obviously a plot point because they made a point to make it a plot point. So I guess we will see. This episode seemed a lot like a typical police drama. We still had some zombie action, but it was pretty much a police procedural with John Dory. And I have to say, I really enjoyed it. I know we're going to find out about the ratings a little bit later, but this seemed much more like they're finding their footing. They're picking up the pace. And I have to say, this is probably one of the better episodes of Fear we've seen. They're really picking it up this season, and I'm glad of it. I was doing my rewatch, went back through the Dirty Truck Stop Lady era again, and I'm really, really excited to see what they're going to do this season because it seems a lot better than it has been.
Thank you, LT. Well, then I'll just go into some of my feedback. I like seeing Grace still in the picture. I mean, I know Morgan is kind of there besides, he's helping saving our group from Jenny, or at least that's what we think. But getting, the shirt and jacket from Daniel, and then seeing if Rufus can catch her scent, have hope that those two do get reunited this season. I do think that, she was taken by Jenny and put somewhere. And I think that note that Daniel left with, the jacket was basically saying, it's like, oh, I got this from the car that they put her in. So hopefully it's not in a bad way, but I guess that's kind of probably not going to be the case. As a show likes to kind of probably do that kind of stuff to us. It's like, oh yeah, they'll be reunited, but it's probably not going to be in a very good way, and she might not make it. Next time, it's like, I really like how the show is showing religion in a whole, like, rounded way. It's like, we have Rabbi Jacob, is proceeding over the funeral of Cameron, and he's bringing up, Hebrew words like tzedakah, which he was using it to describe Cameron, like, serving the community as, at a higher calling to do what is right and just. It was going on since, be like that makes you worthy of the world that you inhabit, and goodness will then prevail. And of course, then this all seemed to be like foreshadowing, or at least, playing on par with John's struggle in this whole episode, trying to do what's right and wrong, because when people feel safe, it's like that's what he's trying to do, and he's trying to make Lot in a safer place. So it's just good seeing this, like, how in the zombie apocalypse, religion still serves a purpose for those that are still alive. So it's like, everyone in Lawton, they're not all Jewish, but, like doctors, it's like, if you're a religious leader, it's like, you still have a role in, like, whatever community you're a part of, to bring solace to the community, especially in times like this when, someone died, it's like someone there to, like, preside over the burial. It's like, I can only imagine that's how people would be like in this kind of world, where it seems like so much was lost, and that no matter what, just like, what religion it is, it's like it still serves kind of a purpose, and it's important to your survival. But I really like that they, showing other religions, and it's like we have Father Gabriel over on the main show. I don't know if we'll see anything like that in World Beyond, but, I like how they're treating it, and love it. And I thought it was really interesting, like, when Jenny was holding that town, like, meeting, when she was giving John, like, the promotion, like, she referred to all the settlements as, like, our great franchise. And then she also went on, it's like, oh, it's like, and the future of our little enterprise. And so it's like, it's just, again, seeing her really seeing, seeing this all like as a business transaction or something like that. Like, I mean, I know that like she was like an efficiency expert or something, like where, you know, she was tasked to eliminate jobs that were redundant, you know, and weren't necessary to a company to make them, you know, more efficient. So it's like, you can, I guess we still get to see this as like, this is kind of drives her leadership skill. But it was just calling it a franchise, and it just made me wonder, is like, does she really have control of her empire? You know, it's like is she the only, like, is she only the leader of Lawton, and then maybe, you know, maybe a couple settlements around them, but, you know, do other people rule like these other places that's a part of this kind of group? And then it kind of made me think, is like, is that why she tested Alicia and Strand? To find, because, you know, she was trying to find someone to be a leader to be able to, like, have the people rally around. And so it makes me wonder, like, about what more that we don't know about Jenny's world. You know, is she doing these things we're seeing to, you know, kind of get our group in line and then the whole, you know, to join the whole community? Or is, you know, she preparing for like a bigger battle ahead? And, you know, like, especially with the sneak peek for next episode, you know, we're seeing these other people with these masks, and like, there's the SWAT truck, you know, and you know, it's leading. It's like, okay, they're still not telling us everything or showing us everything. And, you know, it just kind of puts it into a whole different perspective for me, that it's like, you know, it's like, is this, you know, that's just a franchise, you know, really is like, okay, well, like, okay, how many franchises are there? And then like, what's dictating them as a franchise? Is it just like you guys trading something? And obviously we have this key and people looking for this key. Does Jenny even know about the key? Is the key just a, you know, like a symbol? You know, like at least in like Jenny's world, like is this key something that other communities are using, but it just, you know, it's like, that's the franchise. So I don't know. I thought that was kind of very interesting to, like, you know, hearing her say those, you know, those choice words. And so it makes me think that we have a lot more that we're probably going to see. All right. Well, that does it for our feedback for this episode. So let's go into The World Beyond. World Beyond, it was season 1, episode 5, Madman Across the Water. It was written by Roy Kumar and directed by Dan Liu. Description was, while the group works together to cross the Mississippi River, a plot to steer the teens back home hits a snag. A member of the group must overcome past trauma to save the others from an approaching threat. All right, well, let's go on with, we didn't have any listener feedback for The World Beyond for this episode, so if you do have it, you know, you can put it into next week's, but we will, you know, we'll cover it briefly. So let's go on, LT, you had some, so I will play his feedback.
Well, once again, we got stuck with another week's worth of World Beyond. I'm watching it, kind of enjoying it, but it's still just not what I'm really digging. From the very beginning, the whole force of nature ramble, just get on with it. If you want to make an argument, force of nature, all the stuff that they mentioned before, all the physics, all the chemistry, that's, force of nature is just sort of a big all-encompassing term. If you want to make the argument that nature abhors a vacuum, I'll go with that. If you want to argue entropy theory, that's fine too. But it just seemed kind of overly philosophical for me. The whole thing about building the boat in general, that if you're going to build a boat, don't build it so far away from the water. It just seemed like that whole boat thing ended up being like a episode of Junkyard Wars. If you never saw that show, go back and find it. It's really a lot of fun. It started on, I think, the BBC, a Scrap Heap Challenge. But anyway, I digress. I understand you got to build with what you have, but just the whole notion of trying to cobble up a steam engine under those circumstances, it was just a little much. I was down with the idea of building a boat, but just coming up with something that was overly complex just seemed, again, a little much for me. We did get to find out this episode why Huck is called Huck. Apparently, they found her floating on a raft down the river. She alluded to some more of her backstory. But once again, I don't think we really got enough, at least not enough to satisfy me. And for the love of God, this show is incessant monologuing. You have these two-on-two character interactions where it's just long expositional monologues. If it came out a little more organically, a little more naturally, I could deal with it. But it just seems like that it's just so much talking and talking and explaining. And it just seems a little forced to me, maybe. While we're on the subject of forced, I really wish they'd have CGI'd in a few more clouds for the whole lightning thing. Because the scene we got where the lightning struck the pole at Daiquiri Land, it was an absolutely clear, beautiful sky with high cirrus clouds. And I'm not buying that there was a lightning storm. If you're a southerner, as I am, and you understand how lightning storms happen here, you're not going to have the very high, very light, fluffy clouds and then have a lightning strike. It just, that kind of threw me out of the moment. Now, admittedly, in the scene where Silas and Alton run down the road carrying their buckets of nail polish, they actually had some clouds in the background. If they'd have done that where the lightning strike was, I wouldn't be complaining so much, other than the fact it seemed awfully sunny. So let's, I don't know if you complain to the cinematographer, but it just kind of took me out of the moment. And Alton, this was a very Altonocentric episode this week. We got to see a little more about the scene where his dad put him in a box. You get to see him scared in various and sundry positions. Because he was put in a box, we know why he's claustrophobic. And we got to see the whole scene after he's put in the box and dad bites it, that he basically sets out on his own. I'm still not going to say this is my favorite show. It's not bad. It's just not really compelling to me right now. We've said it before. We'll say it again. Just seems awfully young adulty. Maybe that's what they're going for, but it just isn't quite cutting the mustard for me. I'll keep watching, but I'm not going to, I don't know if I'd go back and re-binge this at a later date because I thought it was such great TV. As we've said before, if you're going to give us the CRM nuggets, then by God, just give us some CRM nuggets. I could have stood it if, say, in Fear or the Main Show, that they would have taken all the nuggetry that we've gotten about CRM and compressed it into an episode or an episode and a half. It would have been a lot more palatable than the dribs and drabs we're getting this way. Now, I'm not saying I don't appreciate it, but just the delivery method, it leaves a little bit to be desired for me.
Thank you, LT. I did not have any feedback for this episode. This week was a little crazy. So I'm like, I just didn't have time to actually, rewatch and do lots of notes and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I kind of have to agree with the whole, lightning storm thing. Cause really it's like broad daylight. And then there's like this lightning strike. And then you turn to another scene. I'm like, oh, there's the clouds. Okay. Well, it must have been a budget issue. Who knows? all right. Well, how this whole episode or if this podcast had, you know, started, Brian is going to take over and like give us his feedback for World of Beyond, and then he'll lead into news, ratings, and info, and in the podcast for us. So thank you, everyone, and we'll go cue Brian.
So we're at the point of the episode where you'll be listening to me for the rest of the episode. So we're basically just going to have my thoughts on World Beyond, and then we're going to segue right into news, ratings, and info, and then I'm going to take us all out. So anyway, so first, a little bit on World Beyond. Well, it's pretty obvious at this point that this show is slow. It is really slow. It is so slow. You know, it's kind of a combination of, oh, I don't know, Breaking Bad in terms of speed, but also, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a coming of age, my so-called life. So I don't know, but it is a show of slowness. And it's like I said last week, it is a show that in 2012 may have worked. And if you're coming to it as your first Walking Dead, it probably works. I know this week I was listening to the Walking Dead cast, and those guys seem to like it a lot more than we do. But, you know, they said it was a slower, more contemplative show. And I don't have any problem with that. Like Better Call Saul, I would say, is a fairly slow show, as Breaking Bad was. And I love those two shows. This is a show that I just don't care about. It's not working for me. I said this on the Star Trek Discovery podcast last week. I said that it isn't terrible. It's just boring. And that's what I have to say about it this week. This wasn't terrible, but it was boring. And I'll highlight a couple of things that I didn't think were terrible. I think the scenes with the flashback with Elton, I think were, you know, pretty heartbreaking and were, you know, sad. And was also, I guess, nice to see. I shouldn't say nice, but it was an interesting kind of plot twist. Maybe something we thought of, but really didn't know for sure, that Hope doesn't know, or didn't know, I should say, that the woman that she shot was Elton's mother. Kind of convenient, but at the same time, it was kind of good. But anyway, those two things were good. And, you know, I don't know who this guy is right at the end of the episode. I really didn't like that we didn't get anything from the CRM at all. This is the second episode, episode two, and now episode five. We got nothing from them at all. And to me, that's the best reason to watch this show. It is really difficult for me to watch a show where, you know, these characters just don't seem to know what they're doing as far as killing the dead. You know, even Felix and Huck are not as experienced as, you know, our people on Walking Dead, or even for that matter, Fear the Walking Dead. They're just not. So that part of it, I didn't get. I don't understand why they had to go through all that crazy stuff with, you know, building an engine from, I don't know what that was, an air conditioner. That didn't really make a lot of sense to me. And the whole, would they use fuel, nail polish remover or something like that? It just, you know, wasn't great. The acting's good, you know, but it just, I didn't understand why they couldn't just, you know, take a boat and row it across the river. You know, that didn't make a lot of sense to me. And I don't know, just in general, the show doesn't work for me, but we've already established that. So that's all that I have. I don't know what the other guys had to say about the episode, but that's what I have to say. But all right. So now it is time for our news, ratings, and info. So let's bring on Rick, or I should say Shane.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
Okay, so as far as ratings this week, when it comes to ratings, unfortunately, ratings were... Unfortunately, ratings were down, and in both cases for both shows, they hit a ratings low. So Fear got a 0.31 in the 18 to 49 with 1.276 million viewers. That is down from last week's episode, which was a 0.39 with 1.501 million viewers. And World Beyond this week got a season low, or series low, I should say, also, of 0.18 in the 18 to 49 with only 742,000 viewers. And as far as I know, I'd have to go back and look, but I think that this is an all-time low for the Walking Dead universe. So I don't think any of the shows have ever gotten below a million in on the first, you know, first showing. So I'd have to go back and confirm this, but from what I'm seeing, actually, the charts that I see in the document here, I believe I'm correct. So that's not great. Yeah, they've never gotten below anywhere near that on Fear. So the 18 to 34 ratings, which we started looking at because of World Beyond, it only got a 0.07 in the 18 to 34 versus 0.13 for Fear. And there is no Talking Dead this week, but I know that there was a comment in about Talking Dead from Glynis, and I'm not sure how that got resolved, but or if she responded to it. But as far as I know, there is no version of Talking Dead on, let's see, according to Talking Dead, it's on AMC right after and only appearing on AMC proper at 12:14. Okay, I'm just reading Glynis's comments. I'll probably have to take this out.
Glynis, Brian did actually go and check, and he checked the AMC schedule, and you are indeed correct. There is a Talking Dead on the schedule. So he said, with my apologies, you are correct. So, Brian, I guess I'm going to have to give you this. And back to our regularly scheduled programming.
As far as the parents this week, last week, The Walking Dead did not make the parents, but this week, probably because of Halloween last week, because this looks at October 25th to 31st, The Walking Dead was at number 7 this week. The other show that, of course, I podcast about, this Star Trek Discovery, was reached number 6 in the U.S. Digital Originals, down from number 5 in the previous week. I only have one story, and but it's a pretty big one. According to comicbook.com and Josh Wigler at The Hollywood Reporter, The Walking Dead has found its Lucille, and no, we're not talking about the baseball bat. It is the original Lucille, the one that Negan named his baseball bat after his wife. Of course, we know died before the zombie apocalypse. The character will be appearing in the bonus episodes of season 10, and they have cast a familiar face, actually one that Jeffrey Dean Morgan knows very well, his wife in real life, Hillary Burton Morgan, who she's best known for her role on One Tree Hill. Anyway, it just says, according to Twitter, she tweeted out and said, "Been working pretty hard to keep this a secret. I love the Walking Dead family. They've been a part of our family for ages, and I'm so grateful for their kindness." And of course, the two of them hosted the chat show Friday night with the Morgans this summer, you know, during COVID. So this is kind of the second time, but apparently this is a thing that networks have been doing in COVID to allow them to film scenes between loved ones. And that's simply by, you know, casting the real life partners of actors to fill this role, those roles, you know, makes it a lot easier. And I totally get that. So that is it as far as the news. And I'm going to take you on out. So,
okay, I had to just stop you right there, Brian. Sorry. Because whenever I was listening to your guys' recordings, LT actually did a pretty good job doing our doing the interact with us. So I wanted to kind of give him the chance to read this off that we usually do every week. So take it away, LT.
So we want you to interact with us. We encourage you to follow us on Twitter at WalkingDeadTTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people use our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadTTM. You can email us at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. Our feedback form is available on our website at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. If you want to leave voicemail, you can call 216-232-6146. All of our new episodes are on YouTube now. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click the bell to get notified when we have new videos. Those videos go out first before the podcast does. So pick it up there, smash that like, and subscribe to us on YouTube.
All right, Brian, you can take it from here.
Good way to support us as well is to like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. You can write us a review there for the whole network. Subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of your choice. While you're there, give us a rating or review. And if you don't use Apple Podcasts and your podcast client supports it, many allow you to leave us a review through podchaser.com. It's part of the app. But also Stitcher and other apps have their own mechanisms for that. So if you can leave us a review or rating, hopefully both, that helps get the word out. And also, of course, if you have friends that watch The Walking Dead, share the podcast with them because word of mouth is the best way to get new listeners. And another way to support us and help get the bills paid is through our Patreon, which is at patreon.com/Walking Dead Talk Through. And we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum, and of course, co-host Lawrence Todd. So thanks. And right now, of course, I am working on the Star Trek Discovery podcast that is taking up the bulk of my time. Unfortunately, Ruthie was unable to join us this week because there were ice storms last week in Oklahoma City. And so LT actually joined me on there, as well as James. And the way it's going this week, as of Thursday when I'm recording this, Ruthie still doesn't have power, so it looks like I won't have her with me again this week. So unfortunately, LT may be with me again next week, or, you know, for this week's episode. And Kyle may join us, but unfortunately, I don't think he will because of the nature of editing this week's podcast. So I don't think it's going to happen. But that can be found at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com, which is part of the TalkThroughMedia.com as well, of course. But you can go straight to it by StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTM podcasts. And our Patreon is patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. We have 8 episodes out there and more coming on the way. Our next episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through will be covering season 6, episode 5 of Fear the Walking Dead, titled Honey, which is written by Ashley Cardiff and directed by Sharat Raju. And the description that I've got, and I don't know how official it is, but it's on the Walking Dead Wiki, says Dwight and Sherry want to take down Ginny, but Morgan stands in their way. So that's what I have. And as far as the Walking Dead World Beyond, that is season 1, episode 6, titled Shadow Puppets, and it is written by Maya Goldsmith and directed by none other than Abraham Michael Kudlitz. And the description from the Walking Dead Wiki, it says, when an unexpected newcomer reveals information that could help them reach their destination, the group cuts a deal. While some are intrigued by the new arrival, others are suspicious. So again, don't know how official that is, but that is from the Walking Dead Wiki. And thank you, all of you, for putting up with this weirdly formatted episode this week. Unfortunately, because of, you know, all the crazy stuff this week with the election and just busy times, we couldn't get the three of us all together to record, so we did this way. Hopefully it wasn't terrible. We won't make it a habit, but until next time, I'm...
Hold on, Brian. I think LT is the one that should take us out. Take it away, LT.
So until next time, I'm Brian. And I'm Kyle. And I'm LT. And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody. Good night. Good night. I love you, Kyle.